Okay, let's we're going to sing. Christians, some Christians join to sing. Three verses. We're reading from John chapter 12 and verses 12 through 16. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast when they had heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took the branches of the palm trees and went to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is the Lord who comes in the name, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it. As it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming seated on a donkey colt." These things the disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered these things that were written of him and that had done these things to him.
Those bold and Then came the first day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying,
Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it.
They said to him, Where do you want us to prepare it? And he said to them,
When you have entered a city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters. And you shall say to the owner of the house, The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare it there.
And they left and found everything just as he told them. And they prepared the Passover.
Lost in a wilderness barren and bleak, mankind was starving and fatally weak. When we were helpless, our hunger profound, pure bread from heaven fell down to the ground. This is my body, it's broken for you. Eat and remember my dying for you. This is the bread you can buy without price. This is a share in the body of Christ. Dying of thirst and as dry as the dust, burning with fever and anger and lust, parched as a desert and dead in our sin, but a fountain of water springs up from within. This is my blood of the covenant new. Drink and remember my buying for you. This is the wine you can buy without price. This is a share in the body of Christ. All who are thirsty now come to the spring. Come without money, you have none to bring. All who are hungry now come, taste and see. This bread cost him dear, but for you it is free. Share in the food and the drink that is true. Feed and remember his dying for you. Come by the wine and the bread without price. Come, take a share in the body of Christ.
John 17 is the high priestly prayer of Christ. It is God on earth praying to God in heaven. It is Jesus on earth praying to his Father. Verse 1 through verse 5 of John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with your own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Hey. Hallelujah. What a Savior.
Paid in Full by Ingemar de Ritter. Caught as in an olive press, they called Gethsemane. The curse began he to address and feel the agony. Great waves of pain swept through each vein as Christ sweat drops of blood. As on him it began to rain wrath down from high above. And he who in himself was found no spot nor speck of sin was now about to feel the pain as my judgment fell on him. And by his stripes my soul is healed and my guilt is washed away. His back was plowed, his skin hung peeled. What do me did on him look? His dying was a must for me if I would e'er be saved. To the Father's house he led the way, but with blood that way was paved. The soldiers pressed their thorny crown again into his head, and on his face his blood ran down in streams of crimson red. The masses gawked at Calvary, a place known as the skull. A debt I owed, he paid for me. Now all charges void and null.
Verse 9, stand amazed in the presence. Three verses.
Ever. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spit upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him! He's to blame." Upon his precious head, they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and sneered. "Behold the King." They struck him. They cursed him. And they mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold your son." When he said, "I thirst," they gave him gall to drink. The sinful act of man was done. He had yielded to the howling mob, but he had not for mercy cried. The cross of shame he bore alone. When he cried, "It's finished," salvation's greatest work was done. Sure, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me.
Final Sacrifice, an excerpt from King of Glory by Paul Bramson. It is noon. Jesus has already been on the cross for 3 hours. Dark clouds roll in. Day becomes like night. Terrified onlookers scatter. An eerie silence covers the hill. 3 hours later, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" On the altar of the cross, the eternal Son of God felt the horror of being separated from God in heaven. During those hours of darkness, hidden from the eyes of men, God took all our sins and put them on his Holy Son. Jesus became the final sin offering. The past, present, and future sins of the world were loaded onto Jesus. For 3 long hours, God's anger against sin blazed down on his own burnt offering. Like a lamb sacrificed on an altar, the Lamb of God was suspended on the cross between heaven and earth, between God and man. The infinite one endured our hell in time so that we need not endure it in eternity. Then it was done. Knowing that he absorbed the punishment sinners deserve and that he had fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament, Jesus said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. For centuries, lambs had been killed and burned on the temple altar. When Jesus died, God tore open the curtain that hid the special room where the blood was sprinkled each year to cover sin. By ripping the curtain, God was declaring, "It is finished. The sin debt is paid in full. My Lamb has shed his holy blood for the sin of the world. I will no longer accept animal blood for sins. My beloved Son is the final sacrifice. For all who believe in him, heaven's door is open wide." 700 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. It is finished."
Sing three different hymns.
Down, downward bends his wandering eyes. The soldiers rested, their work completed. The nails firmly attached his feet and hands to the cross. The blood flowing down, crown of thorns firmly planted. The soldier sat down and watched him there. Mary saw her son hanging on that old rugged cross. She recalled, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins." She sat down, cried, and watched him there. Disciples scattered, yet some stayed and looked up, confused, seeing their leader hanging on the cross. Not sure what the future may hold, they sat down and watched him with wonder. People gathered to look at Jesus on the cross. Perhaps the blind man saw Jesus that day. He recalled, "Once I was blind, but now I see." He sat down and watched him with his newfound sight. The centurion watched the soldiers lift the cross in place. He felt the earth quake and the sun that refused to shine. He said, "Truly, this was the Son of God," as he stood and watched him there. I look back by faith and see my Jesus on that cross. I take the bread, a reminder of his death. I take the cup, a reminder of his blood shed for me. And I say, "Truly, this is the Son of God." And in humility, I sit down and watch him there.
Here, by a risen Lord.
With a fire's been trial for him. A sonnet for Easter dawn. He blesses every love which weeps and grieves. And now he blesses hers who stood and wept and would not be consoled or leave her love's last touching place. But she watched as low light crept up from the east. A sound behind her stirs a scatter of bright birdsong through the air. She turns, but she cannot focus through her tears. She cannot recognize the gardener standing there. She hardly hears his gentle question. Why are you weeping? She hardly sees the play of light that brightens as she chokes out her reply. They took my love away. My day is night. And then she hears her name. She hears love say the word that turns her night and hours into day.
See what a morning.
See what a morning. Glorious to fight with the dawn of hope in Jerusalem. Bold in the great cross, tomb filled with light, as the angels announce Christ is risen. See God's salvation plan, wrought in love, born in pain, paid the sacrifice. Fulfilled in Christ the man, glory lives, Christ is risen from the dead. See Mary weep, where is he laid? As in sorrow she turns from the empty tomb. Hears a voice speaking, calling her name. It's the Master, the Lord, raised to life again. The voice that spans the years, speaking light, stirring hope, bringing peace to us, will sound till he appears. Glory lives, Christ is risen from the dead. Oh, one with the Father, ancient of days, through the Spirit who clothes faith with certainty. Honor and bless, glory and praise to the King, crowned with power and authority. And we are raised with him. Death is dead, love is won, Christ is conquered. And we shall reign with him, glory bless, Christ is risen from the dead.
Meanwhile, up in heaven, it was time for the King to be crowned with glory and honor. Imagine the splendor, the colors, the music, the excitement. 100 million angels talking among themselves. The King is coming home, but he will look different. The one who created man in the image of God will forevermore bear the image of man. A hush settles over the celestial city. Suddenly, the silence is broken with a majestic... I need to by a booming, open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, invincible in battle. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. The gates swing open wide, and to the thunderous applause of heaven, in comes the champion, the Lamb, the battle-scarred Son of Man, Jesus. Through the adoring multitude, he walks up to his Father's throne. Turning, he looks out over Adam's ransomed race and sits down. One of these days, While the world is busy with its trivial pursuits and false religions, the King of Glory will return to earth, but not on a lowly donkey, not to be mocked and crowned with thorns. As the King returns, a voice will thunder from heaven. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.
Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again, a baby born, a baby new, baby eating and baby sick.
Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14 tells us these words: How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It's time to gather up the fragments that remain. And we understand and realize that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And we have looked at three different aspects of this celebration today. That which happened at the cross. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He loved me, and he gave himself for me. Joy, found a couple of hundred times in the scriptures, reminds us that the hearts of mankind, as we look at the cross, brings joy to us. Surely we should be able to say, as we sing, Hallelujah! Amazing grace! Wonderful joy! Joy! And we are told again and again that the Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And peace? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ because we have been justified freely by his grace. Love at the cross. Nobody ever loved me as he did. joy at the cross, knowing that what he was looking forward to, the joy set before him, is this gathering of believers in worship and praise, adoration and thanksgiving, awe and reverence, and peace. The peace which passes all understanding guards our hearts and minds with Christ Jesus. That's the past. But the present is our enjoyment of his love as we contemplate again and again what 1 Corinthians 13 says to us. Love suffered long and is kind. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. Now abideth faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. We have love. We have joy today. We rejoice in the blessing of our enduring salvation. So what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished across is still enduring for us. Love, joy, and peace. The Prince of Peace has come to us, and we celebrate and enjoy who he is and what he's done. He's made peace through the blood of his cross, that we today can be at peace with each other and with him. And he's coming again. It will be the greatest demonstration of love as the Lord Jesus Christ, for the second time, departs from earth, departs from heaven to come to earth to the skies. And we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. Love will be demonstrated as he gathers his bride from this earth and takes her home. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We are here to wait for the rejoice. The joy of our heart will come again when we appreciate and appropriate all that God has. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice, because today it is a time of peace, a time of joy, and a time of love. When he comes, the Prince of Peace will rule for 1,000 years. And at the end, he will celebrate his victory accomplished on the cross and made possible by the King of Kings to Israel and the Lord of Lords to the church. And so we will begin the day of God, the day of God, a day of love as we've never been loved before, a day of joy as we celebrate what he has done and who he is to us, and a day of peace. The Holy Spirit was there at the cross in order that the Lord Jesus Christ might manifest pure love, pure joy, and pure peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us now by the Spirit, drawing our hearts together in worship, in fellowship, and in evangelism. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit will be with us again as he gathers his people together. And we shall worship as we have never worshiped before. We will fellowship as we have never fellowshiped before. And the fruits of our evangelism will gather people from the four corners of the earth. And we shall be with the Lord forever. Let us praise him and give thanks for the food. Father, we're blessed again because of your provision, your goodness and grace to us. We recognize afresh and anew that we cannot really enter into all of the expressions of your love, of your joy, and of your peace, even though the Lord Jesus Christ, in darkness, receiving the anger and hatred of the world against him for our sins, we rejoice again that today and every day of this life, until our Lord Jesus comes again, we can celebrate your love. We can enjoy and appreciate your joy, and we can celebrate your peace. We thank you for this gathering which has drawn our hearts out. Our minds have been challenged afresh by the thoughts of our Lord Jesus Christ for us, that he loved us and he gave himself for us. We thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding. And again today, because of what we have contemplated, we say we rejoice in the Lord always. and again we rejoice. Thank you for this food so carefully presented and prepared that we might enjoy the fellowship that you designed the church to have. And so we say thank you for this food. We thank you for the opportunity of worship. We thank you for the fellowship of the body of Christ. And we pray that as we go forth today, during this week, we might be alert to the needs of others and share with them the love that you have shared to us, the joy that we have in Christ, and the peace that is ours. Thank you for ministering to us out of your abundance at such a high price. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.